Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation, in the post-constitutional cheese-covered bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, where they sure eat a lot of dead animals. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and, well, I've been managing to hang out a bit at Huntington Beach over the past few days for the start of the barbecue season, one of my favorite times of the year, to remind people that barbecuing meat is one of the best ways to feed carcinogens to your family. Barbecuing forms HCAs, heterocyclic amines, which are carcinogenic. But I thought I'd hang out by the beach anyway, and I thought maybe the ocean breeze would blow away the stench of charred body parts. But staring at the water, it made me wonder if it's all just disappearing now. All of this water, you know, the beautiful ocean, is it all going to disappear into just continents of oil? When will the never-ending BP Halliburton oil disaster end? Huh? Will all that oil just get caught up in some currents and wind up on the coast of California sometime? You know, it's a new continent of oil when we see the continent. Well, will we see the continent of Atlantis? Huh? It turns out that BP has a rig similar to the one that exploded, only much larger, named the Atlantis, currently in operation, still also circumventing all of the environmental safeguards. And so again, maybe we'll see the continent of Atlantis, and it'll be a continent of oil. Maybe that's the next disaster waiting to happen. Would we even know if it happened now, you know, mixed in with all the other oil now? Is there any water left in the ocean? You know, if only someone at a BP management meeting would have said something like, excuse me, what if something happens? It would have probably been some kid, you know, right out of college. Probably not Berkeley, though, because, Obama's energy secretary, Chu, is out of Berkeley, and at Berkeley, he had a $500,000 grant from BP, and BP's chief scientist became Chu's chief scientist, therefore your Governor Ron Mintz chief scientist. So, you know, what if some kid, you know, some intern, not out of Berkeley, would have been at a BP management meeting and said, what if something happens? All the rich billionaires in suits would have just said, don't worry, kid. Don't worry. We'll fill the hole with golf balls and hair and pantyhose. Huh? Sounds very scientific. That sounds more like what you'd find at a Berkeley fraternity party, right? Or maybe that's what's clogging the drain right now at BP's CEO's house, right? I don't know. Did those meatheads actually solicit donations of hair and pantyhose? It sounds more perverted than scientific to me, but then everything going on with BP seems perverted now. BP, there instead of British Petroleum, how about British perverts? So what they're doing to the environment is so perverted. And, you know, I'll tell you, BP, I'll tell you what you can shove in your hole, BP. I would suggest maybe that we all just go vegan. I mean, if we're down to golf balls and pantyhose and hair, why don't we just stuff all the meat that's around the world in existence right now? Let's stop eating it. I mean, it is meat already is what's clogging up everyone else's if it works to clog most Americans' pipes and anal pore. Why not give it a try, BP? I mean, constipation is rampant across the USA, and just like your intestine there, meat would just sit there, right? Clogging up everything. It has no fiber. So it's worth a try, isn't it, BP? You know, I have quoted scientific studies in the past on Go Vegan with Bob Linden that basically translate to vegans are number one at number two. So the reverse has got to be true, too, when it comes to getting all clogged up, right? So let's all just go vegan, take a big dump of all the meat that's remaining in the country now. Let's stop killing animals. Take all of those body parts, all those cadavers, and you know, let them clog up BP's pipes instead of clogging up your pipes, huh? And I don't know, as good an idea as BP has had up to now, right? And yes, while dumping large amounts of meat would be dumping more toxicity into the ocean. We'll look at what BP's reaction was to its deadly oil catastrophe. Pour more toxicity into the ocean. The toxic dispersants poured in after the oil, probably more toxic than the oil itself. So, I don't know. You know, so when I was in Huntington Beach, I stopped by the Loving Hut there. How did I miss the grand opening of that one? It seems like I make it to most grand openings of Loving Hut, like the one just recently in Westfield Mall in San Francisco. This one, I guess this was in February. I guess I was in the Bay Area at the time. Loving Hut at 19891 Brookhurst Street in Huntington Beach. Hi, Monica. How are you there? And thanks, Monica, for putting up a big sign over the door that says vegan cuisine. Yes, I love it when people are proud of the V word instead of hiding from it. You know, so many people told me 9 years ago, please, Bobby, don't call your show Go Vegan. It's just too radical. It's too much, you know. Call it Go Veggie, huh? But, you know, not with the kind of language takeover that we've had recently, when veggie can mean cow's milk or eggs or even fish to people. I'm a vegetarian, I eat fish, huh? You know, the language has just gotten way out of hand. You know, you pacify a village by bombing it. Friendly fire, you know, all of this ridiculous talk. So, I don't know, BP, when are your publicity people going to catch on and blame the fish here, right? You know, make it seem like you're doing a good deed by destroying the oceans. Maybe you can come up with, you know, fish caused 9/11, right? Okay, that would end your PR nightmare, huh? And it would make you as credible as George W. Bush and all the corrupticians on our terror vision sets, huh? So take a lesson from the meat industry, BP. Why not? It knows how to put the blame where it doesn't belong also. Right now, again, we're always blaming vegetables for salmonella or E. coli, right? I mean, isn't that always the case? For example, now, well, what have we blamed in the past? We've blamed tomatoes, green onions, watermelon, spinach, and now, isn't it time to blame, yes, that deadly killer, alfalfa sprouts? Yes, I read about it in the Baltimore Sun here that alfalfa sprouts are linked to the latest salmonella outbreak. Raw alfalfa sprouts have been recalled, 10 people sickened in 22 states under the labels Caldwell Fresh Foods of that's the farm out of Mayfield, California. So the labels, Caldwell Fresh Foods, Nature's Choice, California Exotics, these have been distributed at Trader Joe's and Walmart and restaurants and delis. And the Baltimore Sun says, yes, sprouts are super healthy, but they grow in warm, humid conditions, the same conditions bacteria like salmonella like. But, of course, once again, the real culprit is not blamed in the article that salmonella is always sourced from an animal, you know, from an animal. It's, you know, you don't get salmonella just from from vegetables. There has to be some contamination from animals, like animal excretions, either, you know, from the farm, you know, flooding the field, or, you know, the human excretions. So you have contaminated food, perhaps contaminated utensils, unhygienically thawed chickens. Over 140,000 Americans are infected every year with salmonella from chicken eggs. So it is always an animal source for the salmonella, but we're always blaming the vegetables. It's really kind of crazy. So this time around, yes, deadly alfalfa sprouts. So unbelievable, right? So you have the salmonella from, you know, the sprouts that take center stage right there, blaming that. I want to blame BP's disaster again on the absence of reverence for life. And, you know, so there I was at the Loving Hut, as I mentioned, in Huntington Beach at 19891 Brookhurst Street. And on the wall, something to the effect of, caring for all life leads to the balance in nature. I mean, that is just so true. If we only cared about all life, we wouldn't have an environmental disaster like this. And if any country ever showed a lack of reverence for life, well, USA, we're number one. USA, we're number one. Is anybody else sad besides me? Is anyone else sad about the suffering and death of oysters and shrimp and turtles and fish in the Gulf? I'm sad for the animals themselves, for the suffering that they have. But everybody else seems sad that they're basically mourning the profit that could have been made on their death. Oh, how horrible that they died and aren't able to be eaten. And I think, how horrible that they died, huh? But I don't know. Where is the reverence for life? Where is it, huh? Again, maybe Mother Nature is saying to us, well, you humans, I don't know if you deserve to have oceans teeming with life the way you abuse life, you know? So maybe next time Mother Nature will give the vocal cords and the thumb to a species with reverence for life. You know, we humans with our thumb that can make oil spills, with our vocal cords that sing out as a species, we're number one, huh? And, and then of course, well, if you're an American human, you're even more number one than that. And then to be even more number one than that would be the number one American, which would be Barack the Bummer, Obama. And what's he doing? He runs to the Gulf to, you know, to mourn the death of all life, yeah. And or mourn the death that all life can't be eaten. And then he gets back to his job overseeing two illegal wars whose cost has just hit $1 trillion. Yes. Two illegal wars, $1 trillion. I mean, that's almost as much as Wayne Pacelli's salary, huh? So there's our priority, our reverence for life, $1 trillion for death and destruction. And for the one who oversees this expensive death and destruction, now at $1 trillion, he gets the Peace Prize. He gets the Peace Prize, huh? And we get the most massive environmental crisis ever with the solution: hairballs and pantyhose. What a bunch of meatheads. Blood vessels clogged, no blood flow to the brain, apparently. So I say, you know, what can you do? Just dump meat, okay? Shove that down your big hole, BP. The meat has already cost more than a third of America's fossil fuel usage. It's already an oil product, really, basically, right? So it's just amazing to me from whom we expect solutions. $1 trillion on illegal wars. The Rethink Afghanistan page on Facebook shows a lot of different ways that $1 trillion could be spent. What a different society we would be, right? If we spent $1,000 billion actually in support of people and animals, huh? I guarantee we could feed every American delicious, healthy, vegan food. We could spay and neuter all dogs and cats. We could have, We could have salaries for people who, you know, just take care of animals, huh? We could have veterinary care for every animal who needs it. We could, I mean, it's just on and on and on. And we could, well, probably still have enough money left over to pay Wayne Pacelli's salary at HSUS. By the way, in spite of Mr. Pacelli's support for Michael Vick, I see here it's reported that about 40 protesters greeted Michael Vick in South Florida this past week, telling the puppy killer he wasn't welcome there. Vick was in town to host a party in Miami, and the Humanely About the Money Society of the United States, which accepted at least $50,000 from the Philadelphia Eagles to rehabilitate Vick's image, has been sponsoring Vick's speaking tour around the country. Various local animal organizations in South Florida declined donations from Vick and company and chose instead to protest his appearance. And I believe that Michael Vick is sincere about, and has had a change of heart about animals when he goes vegan. That's the announcement I want to hear. Then I'll believe there have been some changes in his life. Hopefully, Vick's coach and cheerleader, Mr. Pacelli, has advised his client, not to wear fur to any of the parties and gatherings he attends. Perhaps Mr. Vick should be required to attend a screening of Shannon Keith's new movie, Skin Trade. We'll be talking to filmmaker Shannon Keith on today's program. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I will let you know of screenings coming up both in Southern California and Northern California of Skin Trade. And, maybe after Mr. Vick sees the film, well, maybe he'll decide to join the real winning team, huh? The ALF. But remember, Mr. Vick, there's a difference between the face mask an ALF activist wears and the face mask on your football helmet. Just a little advice, Mr. Vick, so you don't get caught when you're out there secretly releasing mink from a fur farm. Please, I ask you to support the radio show that coaches Michael Vick to scramble, not eggs, and not get caught if he decides to show he's joined the winning team. And, the playbook is very different teaching Michael Vick ALF rules. It's costly. So please make a generous donation now to Go Vegan Radio. The Philadelphia Eagles made their donation to HSUS, Wayne Pacelli. Gave him that $50,000 signing bonus. So looking up at the Michael Vick NFL scoreboard right now, it's HSUS 50,000, Go Vegan Radio 0. Help the underdog. That's $50,000 that went to HSUS. That $50,000 would put Go Vegan Radio on K-Talk in Los Angeles for a whole year. So we can catch up. We're only 50,000 behind. All we need would be 1,000 people to donate $50 right now, or 50,000 people would donate $1 right now. That would really help. You can donate online at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. Shannon Keith coming up on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You don't want dairy or meat. You want Stuff I Eat. Stuff I Eat, vegan restaurant, 114 North Market Street in Inglewood. Convenient to West LA and LAX. Stuff I Eat, the urban organic fine dining experience. From world-famous tacos to satisfying sandwiches like jerk tofu, carrot and tuna salad, mock chicken tofu salad, and portobello mushroom. To entrees like the organic soul food platter, world-class burritos, and enchiladas. You'll love Stuff I Eat. Amazing organic salads, pies, cakes, raw desserts. Check out the menu at StuffIEat.com. Check out the food at Stuff I Eat, 114 North Market Street in Inglewood. Call 310-671-0115. 310-671-0115. You don't want dairy or meat. You want Stuff I Eat.
Based on the latest satellite data, NASA climate scientists predict nearly all ice could be gone from the Arctic Ocean by the end of summer 2012. NASA scientist James Hansen said, "We have passed tipping points. We have not passed the point of no return. It's going to require a quick turn in direction." For more urgent details on saving our planet, going vegan and green, visit SupremeMasterTV.com. That's SupremeMasterTV.com. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A total treat. No meat in San Jose. Oh, one of the true West Coast dining treasures. Vegetarian House. Vegan organic cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. Amazing appetizers, soups, and entrees. Asian delicacies, Western specialties, organic juices, coffee, cake, desserts. A chai tea on weekends, that's an experience in itself. As all items on the menu are. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Call 408-292-3798.
And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, animal liberation, media infiltration for 9 years now. Who would believe it? And we're listener supported at that, and supported by sponsors who only have vegan and cruelty-free products and services. So how are we on for 9 years? Who knows? But I think the animals need a program on their behalf, including those who become fur coats and food and experiments and laboratories. So you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation online at goveganradio.com, or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. And now we must speak out on behalf of those who become fur, oddly enough, that animals would be worn. I can't believe in this day and age that fur even still exists, but there's a new movie out from filmmaker Shannon Keith. She gave us Behind the Mask, a controversial film a few years back, and now it's Skin Trade, with a couple of major screenings coming up soon. So welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Shannon, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And so why did you make Skin Trade? What motivated you?
Well, precisely the reason that you were saying is you can't believe in this day and age that people are still, you know, wearing animals as fashion. I couldn't believe it either. And when I was thinking about doing my second film, I thought about all the animal issues. And, of course, there's, you know, so many exploitive issues to cover. But I thought, you know, the one really, really stupid, most winnable issue we have is fur as fashion. And I just can't believe that it's a fashion statement again and showing up on the catwalks all over the world. So I decided that I would make a film aimed more at the designers and the fashion editors to get them to stop this cruel fashion and stop, you know, stop the demand.
Well, fur is very beautiful on the original owner, but not on those who purchase it. So I presume we want to educate the public with this film?
Definitely. I mean, that's also, of course, a big part of it. And, you know, I personally don't think I know anybody who wears fur, but shockingly, there are a lot of people out there who do still wear it. And we've had a couple of closed screenings. And one of the great things about the film is that we talk about the environmental impact as well of factory farming and tanneries that are used for fur, and how the tanneries let chemicals into our environment that end up killing wildlife and killing human beings. And thereby, people learn about leather as well. And many women after the film told me that they were throwing out their leather goods when they got home. So that was another great, you know, part of that, that people could, you know, combine and tie in leather with fur as well. Because, of course, that is my goal, to get everybody to go vegan and stop wearing fur and leather and all animal products.
Right, and, of course, leather tied in with meat eating. And, you know, I think the animals who become fur also get the total spoiled leftovers of the meat and dairy industries. You know, that's yet one more market for them as they profit off of exploiting animals. So, and it seems that fur was really going down in popularity and out of fashion. And what seemed to bring it back? I don't know. It looked like little pastel trim, or why the resurgence of fur?
Well, yeah, there was a while when fur was, you know, becoming very unpopular and very unfashionable, which, of course, I think it still is. Yeah, you know, late 80s, throughout most of the 90s. And, you know, I'm not sure what happened other than And, you know, I profile some of these people in the film. Some fashion editors decided that they would look better. They would look more, accomplished if they were selling and showing fur in their magazines. And so they began to make it popular again. And they realized, also, designers realized that they could do it very cheaply by getting fur from China as well, which is not just, you know, foxes and chinchillas and rabbits, but also dogs and cats.
That is horrible indeed. And let people know about what goes into the process of an animal becoming fur.
Well, obviously these animals live horrific lives. There are several ways an animal can be killed for fur. And it usually starts from, you know, the very beginning of their life, you know, until the end. And some animals are bred on the factory farms themselves. Some of them are wild-caught. The wild-caught animals suffer immensely. They're usually caught in what's called steel jaw leg hole traps. And the animal is laying there in pain, unable to move. Sometimes it even traps their neck. Usually it's their limbs. And they will gnaw off and literally amputate themselves to get away. And, of course, they end up dying later. Sometimes the trappers don't even check on them, so they end up starving to death in the trap. The ones that are raised and bred on factory farms never get to see sunlight, you know, in their entire lives. They live in tiny, cramped cages, living literally on top of each other. They begin to go crazy, of course, as anybody would. So they end up fighting with one another, sometimes cannibalizing each other. And they're also actually being fed other animals of their own species. So they are just being cannibalized. I mean, it's hideous. Some of the footage that we have shows that, you know, the farmers are so cheap that they told an employee who was actually an undercover investigator, don't give the foxes water for 2 weeks. Just give them water every 2 weeks, once every 2 weeks. So, you know, not only are they living in horrid conditions and squalor, but, you know, they're hardly given any food and any water.
They're living in horrible conditions, and then they meet a horrible death.
Right, yeah, and then when that day, you know, does come, it's horrible. They're killed usually in front of each other. They are anally electrocuted or vaginally electrocuted. Some of them are beaten to death or their necks are broken. Many are skinned alive, and we see that in a lot of the footage in the film as well, coming out of China, where they take raccoon dogs and just literally start skinning them alive. And I have some footage from some trappers here in the U.S. that say they were trapping coyotes, and they said that it's a lot easier to bring them in alive because the skin comes off much easier. So it's convenient for them to skin them alive, basically.
I mean, no wonder fur has been out of fashion. You know, I mean, people, I think, forget the process of, you know, they're drowned, they're stomped, they're anally electrocuted, genital electrocution, and no wonder fur was so unpopular. I think they brought it back kind of disguised, you know, as trim or, you know, the lining, the pastel lining. I think it's just, it's a sign of too much money. People don't know what to do with their money, so they spend it on something, hideous. I don't get it, really.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it,
too, for
sure.
Yeah. We're talking to Shannon Keith, and her new movie is Skin Trade. And the public screening and premiere benefit is coming up on Thursday, June 10th, 7 p.m. at the Majestic Crest Theater, 1362 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles. And also, you can see Skin Trade coming up Tuesday, June 15th at 7 p.m. at the San Francisco Unified Film Festival at the Roxy Theater at 3117 16th Street. Information and tickets available at skintradethemovie.com. How are people reacting to this movie? I mean, often people are afraid to, they want to cover their eyes and ears, and how do we make sure they see it and that they're not afraid to see the truth here?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that everyone has a responsibility, you know, whether they believe in fur or not, to see this film. And those who, you know, are anti-fur need to bring somebody who needs to be educated and tell them that there's nothing to be afraid of. That people need to be afraid of what they don't know, and that's what's the scary part. and that's what we feature in the film as well, is that people who actually think that they're doing the right thing by buying fake fur, they're unknowingly buying dog and cat fur in their alleged fake fur. So people have to see this movie because they're going to learn so much in so many different ways about real fur, about fake fur, about the environment, and essentially just about the consumer fraud perpetrated on unknowing consumers. And that means me and you and our friends and our family and everybody else. It's critical to educate yourself and go see it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And what are your hopes for the movie? I mean, what would your aspirations be? Can you get screenings in theaters? Can you be on HBO? What are you trying to do with it?
Oh, well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get, you know, mass distribution, and I'm trying to get it on a major cable network so that, you know, millions of viewers can see it and they can change their behavior and the demand will stop. And hopefully fur for fashion will completely come to an end. I mean, that's my goal. You know, so far in just the limited private screenings I've had, some designers have come and they've completely changed their ways. And that's a huge step, I think, in the fur and fashion industry. And they're telling their other designer friends, look at what goes into this. We had no idea. Because, you know, a lot of times we think that everybody knows, but they don't. A lot of people really
right.
don't
they
know.
They think animals live their natural lives very well on a fur farm and die a natural death, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so far from the truth, right?
Exactly.
People have to wake up and see the truth.
Exactly, yeah. People think that animals are just, their fur is just shaved off and it just grows back.
Yeah.
They are absolutely clueless, and so they've got to see this. And it's word of mouth. Someone sees it, they tell a friend, you know, and go buy it online and help support us as well so we can keep making these films.
Yeah.
That's the way to get the word out there and to make change for the animals in this world.
Great, yeah. I mean, apparently I'm outraged by fur, too, because 2 days before your Los Angeles premiere on June 10th, I'm in a Beverly Hills courtroom for being arrested last Fur-Free Friday for using a megaphone in Beverly Hills. All I said was, fur is murder, and before you know it, well, there I am on YouTube with my hands behind me and the Beverly Hills cops. So,
wow. Wow. How
yeah.
How oh, my
well,
goodness.
I try to, we hope that there's a constitution in Beverly Hills so we can speak out against fur on Rodeo Drive, at least, you know, so.
Well, there should be, and the problem with Beverly Hills is, you know, they know, they're complicit in what they do, and that's why they have a sound ordinance there, you know, so basically free speech is going to have to, you know, override any ridiculous, unconstitutional ordinance they made so that protesters can't speak their mind, which is, you know, the very foundation of the United States.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, there's no provision for constitutionally protected free speech in the Beverly Hills ordinance. I told them their ordinance doesn't apply to me, and even if it did, it's unconstitutional, and I guess that'll be the defense and the offense afterwards, you know?
Well, that'll be an interesting case, you know, and if you lose, hey, that makes for a great story.
Yeah, that's a great story on the radio. So, well, we're just about out of time. So, again, it's Shannon Keith, and the new movie is Skin Trade. Go to skintradethemovie.com, and the public screening premiere benefit in Los Angeles coming up Thursday, June 10th, 7 p.m., and that's at the Majestic Crest Theater, 1262 Westwood Boulevard. And also coming up in San Francisco, it's Tuesday, June 15th at 7, San Francisco Unified Film Festival, the Roxy Theater, 3117 16th Street. Get your tickets and information at skintradethemovie.com. Thanks for being with us today, Shannon.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks for everything you do, Bob.
Okay, really appreciate it, and I'll look forward to seeing you at the premiere.
Great. See you soon.
Well, we need to take a break. We'll continue with Shannon Keith. No, we don't need to take a break because it's vegans are number one at number two. But we do need to hear from our sponsors who have vegan and cruelty-free products and services to offer. You can advertise on Go Vegan with Bob Linden affordably and help support this program. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com, or call 818-623-6477. More with Shannon Keith coming up.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant.
an oasis in Oakland for 14 years, invites you to enjoy its weekday vegan lunch buffet, 11 a.m. to 2:30, affordably priced from just $5.50 to $7.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, 1301 Franklin Street, downtown Oakland, specializing in vegan Vietnamese cuisine. Try the sauteed garlic vegan beef, the gourmet lemongrass vegan chicken. See the extensive menu at goldenlotusvegie.com, goldenlotusvege.com. For dessert, vegan mocha cake, vegan cheesecake, pumpkin cake, cupcakes, 100% vegan, no MSG, fresh every day. Lunch buffet weekdays, 11 to 2:30, starting at just $5.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian, Franklin at 13th in Oakland, 510-893-0383. Golden Lotus Vegetarian. How now, no cow? Get hip to the strip. Primal Strips, the delicious, high-energy, high-protein, meatless snack from Primal Spirit Foods. When you're on the go, go with Primal Strips, the meatless meat alternative that even non-vegans love. Primal Strips have become a favorite with bicyclists, climbers, and outdoor enthusiasts. 100% vegan and kosher, no cholesterol, no GMOs, preservatives, or artificial colors. Voted best new vegetarian snack by Veg News. Primal Strips, six phenomenal flavors, Thai peanut, mesquite lime, teriyaki, hot and spicy, hickory smoked, Texas barbecue. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Visit your natural food store for Primal Strips. Surprising news for vegans, the vast majority of wines available worldwide are neither vegan nor organic. Generally, conventional wines use animal-derived ingredients like egg or gelatin in their processing. Ooh. And conventional wines are made from, well, conventional grapes, using chemical pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers. Ooh, again. Bad for the environment, bad for the animals, bad for you. What can a vegan wine lover do? Join Bob Linden's Vegan Organic Wine Club. Explore the world of fine wines that are guaranteed vegan and produced using certified organic grapes. You'll taste the difference and feel good that you're making the responsible environmental choice as you drink responsibly. Three wonderful bottles of fine vegan organic wine will be shipped to your home or office for you to enjoy on a bi-monthly basis for just $49.95 plus shipping every other month. Your quality wines will be sent to you by the Organic Wine Company, pioneers in organic vegan wines and the first to import organic French wine into the United States. The Bob Linden Vegan Organic Wine Club, available on the homepage at goveganradio.com. Click on the wine glass at goveganradio.com.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, listener supported, which means you send a tax-deductible donation, then I make a payment to the radio station, and then a lot of people can hear this show. So you can donate online at goveganradio.com. We have a couple of hundred shows archived on the website. You can also make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. That's the extent of our fund drive. We're not like KPFK or KPFA where we can go on and on for hours. The animals only have so much time on the air to be represented. And today we're talking to Shannon Keith, filmmaker. Her new movie is Skin Trade, and the public screening and premiere benefit is coming up on Thursday, June 10th, 7 p.m. at the Majestic Crest Theater, and that's 1262 Westwood Boulevard. In the Bay Area, you can see it as part of the San Francisco United Film Festival, which is Tuesday, June 15th at 7 p.m. at the Roxy Theater, 3117 16th Street. And for information on tickets and the movie in general, you can go to skintradethemovie.com. So, Shannon, who is in Skin Trade? What might people expect to see when they go see the movie?
Well, there's a great variety of people in Skin Trade. That's another great reason to go see it. We've got wonderful activists who are out on the front lines protesting. We also have people that went undercover inside of fur farms and actually worked there, and we have their footage. We've got designers and fashion editors and a bunch of celebrities who are speaking out against fur, like the NBA All-Star John Sally, the great, wonderful actor James Cromwell, Georgia Fox, Alexandra Paul. The list goes on. We've just got a great group of of celebrities and designers and activists who were all willing to speak their mind on camera for me.
Well, celebrities and sex and violence, and it sounds like, unfortunately, it's the electrocution part is related to the, yeah, okay, so we're hoping people will go see that movie, Skin Trade. Am I in it? Am I in Skin Trade, or no? I didn't make the cut this time, did I?
You should have been in it. I don't know what happened. You're going to be in the next one.
What happened? I went out of my way to get arrested in Beverly Hills on Fur Free Friday. I'll do anything, you know, to get into a movie. I think I was in your – wasn't I in Behind the Mask? I think I was in that one, wasn't I?
I think you were in Behind – I think you made a cameo in Behind the Mask.
Okay. Well,
I mean, where aren't you is the question. You're all over the place.
I'm everywhere. Everywhere I go, there I am. I can't get rid of me. I'm apparently stalking myself. So, and people may not be familiar with Behind the Mask, which was your previous movie. Tell us about that, about Behind the Mask.
Well, Behind the Mask was my first documentary. It came out in 2006, and it's a full feature-length documentary about the Animal Liberation Front, about people who risk their lives and freedom to save animals. And what's great about Behind the Mask is I was able to go around the world and interview people from all different countries who have done these actions, meaning done illegal actions in order to get the word out about animal exploitation and also save some animals. And since they were already arrested and convicted of those crimes, they were able to talk freely about them. And that's rare because, you know, a lot of times we don't know who did anything, and obviously it can't be exposed. But the point was to sort of rip off the mask and show the audience that these are real human beings who are not terrorists like the government and the media like to paint animal rights activists. These are wonderful, compassionate people who got sick of a letter-writing campaign and waiting for animals to, you know, slowly get out of prison, which isn't happening. They wanted to take action and take it now and save these lives. And that's really what Behind the Mask is about, is showing, you know, the greatness behind these people.
Mm, they may be illegal actions, but they're not immoral actions necessarily, right? I mean, that's...
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, as an attorney, I obviously have to operate within the law, but I do advocate breaking laws that are unjust, because that is the only way we've seen change happen in our society. The only way to get that message out there for animal liberation is for people to be brave enough to break the law, to challenge these ancient laws we have that, you know, are ridiculous animal protection laws that don't do anything to help animals, and really get laws changed and elevate social consciousness.
And people should realize that a lot of the laws written are written by those who exploit animals, who have the clout with politicians, they have the money, so they're able to write laws. In fact, it seems like you like to produce movies that are violations of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, and in fact, probably being on this radio show is a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. We don't want to admit to that, right?
So right. No, I mean, you know, they would like, you know, they being, you know, the forces that be, the government would like, you know, to paint everybody with a terrorist, you know, paintbrush that actually speaks out on behalf of animals, because that might threaten, you know, big corporations and big businesses, you know, who have their hands in politicians' pockets. So, yeah. You know, we're living in a political world.
those who exploit animals are able to write the laws because they have the financial wherewithal to do it. And so a lot of people get frustrated and take action into their own hands. And those behind the mask are nonviolent. I mean, people often accuse those who do direct action as violence, but they're really, no human's been hurt, no animal has been hurt, and they're actions for liberation.
Exactly, yeah, and that's something that's really important for people to understand, is that, you know, Rob Coronado is featured in Behind the Mask, and he says, you know, what people need to understand is that for every action, direct action that we took, you know, at least a dozen weren't taken, because there was the possibility, the slight possibility that somebody or something might be harmed. So, you know, it's a nonviolent movement, and these people, you know, they just want to help. They want to get the word out there. You know, I'm a Jew, and I like the analysis to the Holocaust. You know, if I were living in that day and time and my family was in a concentration camp, I wouldn't be politely writing letters, you know, to the Nazis. Please let them out. You know, I'd go out there and try to break them out myself.
Or dismantle the ovens, right? So that would
exactly.
be a similar activity to that. So,
exactly.
So these are unsung heroes, but you know, again, those with the money have control of the media, and they paint them as terrorists. Recently, there have been protests by, well, the vivisectors at UCLA came out and actually did protests, you know, and the vivisectors themselves, and they have these signs, and the signs are stop the terrorism and stop the violence, and of course, they're not very experienced at protests. I'm the one who had the megaphone across the street, so I just basically said, well, if you want to stop the terrorism and violence, quit your job, right? I mean, that's...
exactly.
That's what it should be, so... okay, well, we only have another minute or two left. Was there anything that you wanted to mention about either Behind the Mask or Skin Trade?
Well, yeah, Behind the Mask is a really great inspirational documentary. I mean, it's inspired so many activists to get off their butts and do something again. You know, maybe they're grown tired or frustrated. So it's a great action video, and if you haven't seen it, please go get it at uncagedfilms.com. And definitely, you know, spread the word about the new film Skin Trade. We've got to end the fur industry, and if we all focus on it, I think we have a great chance of ending it. So skintradethemovie.com, and please come out to our premiere in L.A. and San Francisco if you can.
Yeah, fur is just so out of fashion. It really is. How can cruelty ever be in fashion? It just doesn't make sense, and I don't know why the young musicians today are taking to fur. I mean, it's just a sign of having too much money, apparently. So people can rent Behind the Mask or get a copy of it from where?
Uncagedfilms.com.
Uncagedfilms.com. So Behind the Mask is the movie in which I appear. I'm the radio personality, of course, with the mask on doing the radio show. Every week I do the show with a mask. I have a mask on right now. And and Skin Trade, I guess I'll have to wait to be in the sequel or something. You didn't like my lines in Behind the Mask. I didn't deliver them well, so I didn't get asked back. So again, the public screening, the premiere and benefit will be coming up on Thursday, which is June 10th, 7 p.m. The Majestic Crest Theater, 1262 Westwood Boulevard in L.A. And then if you wish to see it in the Bay Area, the following Tuesday, June 15th at 7 p.m. It's part of the San Francisco Unified Film Festival at the Roxy Theater, 3117 16th Street. And thank you so much, Shannon Keith, for all the hard work you do on behalf of the animals and the creativity you put into it, and now two amazing films.
Thank you so much. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Okay, well, we're trying. They need all the help that they can get. The animals are suffering silently. They don't have a voice, and so somebody has to be there for them, so we are.
Exactly. And everyone else, get out there and do something for them.
That's right, definitely. Now, you're not encouraging any illegal activity by that?
No. I just meant purely legal, above-ground activity.
Right. This day and age, you do legal things and you get arrested. Watch me on YouTube with my megaphone. I didn't break any law. And the next thing you know, there I am in handcuffs on YouTube, my claim to fame. So, all right. Thanks, Shannon Keith,
Thank
for
you.
Being with us today. We'll see you at the movies.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Again, if you missed any of our discussion today, the program is archived at goveganradio.com. You have a couple of hundred shows archived there if you need to catch up on your listening and get fired up to be an activist. And while you're there, make a tax-deductible donation. We have to purchase the airtime. When you buy the time, you're also supporting Progressive Talk Radio because we take the money and we buy the airtime on behalf of the animals. Thanks for listening. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com.
Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House Restaurant, world-class international cuisine at 520 East Santa Clara in downtown San Jose. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Restaurants, now with over 100 locations worldwide. Visit the very first one in North America at 516 Barbara Lane in Milpitas. Also visit the Loving Hut in Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue. For the Loving Hut near you, go to the website lovinghut.us. Celebrate Earth. Celebrate Earth. That's the name of the new CD with Earth-friendly music for children from Recess Music. Featuring the track, Ocean Treasure from Renee Smith.
Help me care for our oceans. They belong to you and me. Treasures like this you can't set a price. So please say that together we'll all save the sea.
Ocean Treasure from Renee Smith on Celebrate Earth. From Recess Music. Visit recessmusic.com. If you see the latest news on health, if you hear the latest news on the environment, more and more, you know that you are an herbivore. Parents concerned about diabetes, obesity, putting their kids on the road to heart disease and cancer are realizing your child isn't a carnivore. He or she is an herbivore. When we learn that meat and dairy cause 51% of greenhouse gas emissions, cause deforestation, cause drought, now that you know you're an herbivore, what do you eat? Where do you eat? Go and explore. At Herbivore, yes, Herbivore, with three Bay Area locations. Herbivore has an extensive menu of international cuisine that spans the world of healthy, meat-free, dairy-free delight. Herbivore, Best of the Bay Area winner, Veg News Veggie Award winner, breakfast 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch and dinner all day. See the menu at herbivorerestaurant.com. Better yet, get a table and order from it at Herbivore. Three Bay Area locations, 983 Valencia, San Francisco, 531 Divisadero, San Francisco, 2451 Shattuck in Berkeley. HerbivoreRestaurant.com.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Rehab for meat eaters. Please make a tax-deductible donation so we can do our work deprogramming the cult victims of the corporate diet of death. Donate online at GoVeganRadio.com. You can go to PETA.org. You'll see new disturbing video there showing Petco and PetSmart suppliers, employees bashing hamsters. How civilized are we there? Where is our reverence for life? Well, maybe in Bolivia, setting the standard for evolution right now with a new law going into effect in July that bans the use of animals in circuses. Four lion cubs freed by the circus ban arrived at San Francisco International Airport a few days ago and headed for life at the Paws Sanctuary in Northern California. At Herald, the Performing Animal Welfare Society, supported by Bob Barker, and you have animal circuses being banned everywhere. Why not L.A. and Anaheim and across the Bay Area? In addition to Bolivia, look at Denmark and Sweden, Costa Rica, Finland, Norway, Singapore, Austria, many parts of Europe and Canada, many councils across Australia, all across the U.S., cities around Massachusetts and in California, Huntington Beach and Pasadena, Corona, Encinitas, Marin County, Newport Beach, Rohnert Park, Santa Ana, all with bans and or restrictions. Also in Florida, Hollywood, Lauderdale Lakes, Pompano Beach, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Stamford, Connecticut, Boulder, Colorado, in the state of Washington, Green Bay, Wisconsin, all showing signs of civilization. And the UK is about to ban the use of wild animals in circuses also, according to the Independent Environment Minister, Jim Fitzpatrick, has been mandated to do so after 94% of the people surveyed said it was the right thing to do. He said, quote, "I agree with the clear view emerging from the huge response to the government's consultation that keeping wild animals to perform in traveling circuses is no longer acceptable. The British Veterinary Association said it was delighted with the prospect of a ban, the Captive Animals Protection Society campaigning for the ban since 1957, persistence counts, said it wasn't surprised by the enormity of public support for the ban. Craig Redmond of that group said it is obvious to most people that carting an elderly arthritic elephant and caged tigers from town to town is an outdated form of entertainment. So we do see progress being made, so makes me feel like, yes, there can be a vegan world on the way. And that happens when you go vegan. Okay, please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. We support Progressive Talk Radio by purchasing airtime, and we support the animals, as you do, when you donate online at GoVeganRadio.com.